12 steps to a higher calling in Christ, seeking the kingdom, the righteousness of God. Although I have titled the book, The 12 Steps to a Higher Calling in Christ, I don't want you to focus on them in a specific order. And I did not want to call them principles because I do want you to look at them or image them as a step. The reason being is because we walk by faith, and in order to walk, a step must be taken. Since we are taking steps, we can identify with each step when we are reflecting upon our life to see where we have stepped out of alignment or off course according to God's divine plan and our assignment. This will allow for an easy way to step back on the right path. Just as you may have stepped out, you can step right back in by faith in the righteousness of God, the gift that has been given by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, not your self works or behavior. Therefore, by the same faith, you can step back into right, whatever it is, right thinking, right believing, right dividing of the word, right speaking in the right tense, by the grace of God, and keep walking by faith according to his divine plan. So we have right thinking, right believing, right dividing of the word, right speaking according to the right tent. We have right positioning, right declaring and decreeing. We have right to be whole, which is in mind and body. We have right receiving, right understanding, right perceiving in the position of right establishing. We have right judgment and right standing. So, for example, if you have stepped out of the position of right thinking, all you have to do is step right back into the position of right thinking by acknowledging and yielding unto the mind of Christ. So, therefore, by the same faith, you can step right back into right thinking by the grace of God and keep walking by faith according to his divine plan. Another example, in right speaking, therefore, by the same faith, you can step right back into right speaking and the right tent by the grace of God and keep walking by faith according to his divine plan. Another example, glory, hallelujah, because it's time to get excited. So, therefore, by the same faith, you can step right back into being whole in mind and body by the grace of God and keep walking by faith according to his divine plan. So, you see how easily it is? Because it's only at that moment in, let's say, in not being able of remembrance, right? In the lack of remembrance of who I am, in the lack of remembrance that I am Christ, that I abide in Christ as Christ abides within me. So in that moment of forgetfulness, oh, how immediately and suddenly I can get right back into the position of who I am, not by my behavior, not by my self-works, but my understanding that by grace through faith, I am what I am, hallelujah, that I am all that God is. So in my position of I am that I am, I can immediately get right back into thinking the thoughts of God through Christ Jesus. Through the mind of Christ, I can get right back in my position of being and acknowledging the indwelling Christ, the Son of God, within me. Amen. And so, what are some of the biggest hindrances today? One, being trapped between law and grace, not having a full understanding of the law, the Mosaic law that came through Moses, the servant, and the grace that came by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Also, not accepting the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, according to the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 9 through 47. So if anyone tells you that you shouldn't be baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence in speaking in tongues today, because it's of none effect, I beg to differ, because there's power. Now you become baptized with power and with fire. There's an anointing. There's a power that worketh in the spiritual realm that gives you the power to bind and to loose in the name of Jesus, that as you send forth the command, it's a command of words with power, with fire, with dominion, and with authority. It also allows you to tap into and become one with the thoughts of God, with divine mind. So now that his thoughts, because he said in Isaiah 55 that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But when we come in the position of unity as a believer in oneness in Christ as Christ, now his thoughts are our thoughts. Now there is light, there is illumination, there is the manifold wisdom of God that rises within, that now you can make divine choices. You become a divine solutions provider. Another hindrance today is unable to accept transformation and change. We must go beyond deliverance, beyond just getting saved, beyond just being saved to keep from going from determining whether you're going to heaven or hell. He said, be ye transformed, according to the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, that which is acceptable, and the perfect will of God, the perfect will of the Father. But then there's the process of transfiguration in unity and oneness into all that I am. According to your faith, be it done unto you. According to your faith, be transformation unto you. According to your faith, be transfiguration unto you. So we all shall not die, but we all shall be changed, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 51. Another big hindrance of today is negative thoughts, feelings, and words. And not having a great understanding of the power of thought, the power of thinking, the power of speaking, which determines our feelings and our emotions, which waters the word, which waters the seed, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. Another hindrance of today is a double-minded, being double-minded, double-speaking man or woman. Speaking of both good and evil, both speaking facts and truth. Then there's the inability to receive the full inheritance of the kingdom of God. His will has final authority and determines our inheritance. See, when you still want to live unto the flesh, when you still want to live unto carnality, then the things of the spirit, the things of righteousness are foolishness unto you. We have to live, we have to release, we have to let go, we have to allow God to be, allow the fullness of the Godhead to express fully, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. The spirit of the living God that is within, the indwelling Christ, the Son of God within, the power, the workings of the Holy Spirit within, in unity and oneness in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead. Allows us through the mind of Christ in unity and oneness with divine mind, the mind of all good, to fulfill and receive our divine inheritance of eternal life, of long life here and now upon this earth, in this world. There's long life and immortality. Amen. And then unworthiness and undeserving. You cannot be a child of God. You cannot be a representative of Christ and an ambassador of the kingdom of God and be unworthy or undeserving, because it's by his grace once and for all, the gift of righteousness, that now you are worthy. Now you are deserving. So you have to acknowledge your position of royalty, your position of being all that I am. Your position of being Christ, not just in Christ, but being Christ, brings forth worthiness. Amen. So those are the biggest hindrances of today. I'm going to go through them very quickly here, trapped between law and grace, not accepting the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues according to the book of Acts chapter 10 verses 9 through 47, unable to accept transformation and change, negative thoughts, feelings, and words, double-mindedness, double-speaking man or woman, inability to receive the full inheritance of the kingdom of God. His will has final authority and determines our inheritance, and unworthiness and undeserving. What should we be focusing on? Prayer, including praying in the Spirit. For when we know not what we should pray, through the guidance and the unction of the Holy Spirit shall we pray, bringing forth the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We should be focusing on praise and worship and unity and oneness in Christ, as Christ in the Father. Glory be to God. We should be believing and receiving always, always believing and always receiving. We should be focusing on gratitude and thanksgiving. We should be allowing the Holy Spirit to guide, to teach, and bring forth divine revelation. So you must allow the guidance of the Holy Spirit to guide you, that every place that your foot shall tread, that has the Father given unto you according to his will and divine plan, that in through Jesus Christ, according to the finished works, for as it is in heaven, so shall it be in earth. Then there's heaven and earth even within. There's the spiritual realm within. And then there's the earthly realm within, the heavens and the earth within. And then it manifests in the without. So as within, so without. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we should be enjoying the love of God's supernatural healing power. We should be elated, filled with enthusiasm in knowing that his word is enough, that his grace is sufficient. For it brings forth spirit and life and health and medicine to all flesh. So we should be enjoying the love of God's supernatural healing power, his goodness and his grace, his perfect love and peace, which surpasses all understanding and knowledge, his abundance of supply. God is our source of all good. God is our supply, for he is the supplier. Through Christ Jesus, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The kingdom of heaven within, the Christ within. And we should be enjoying the love of God's miracles, which are life-changing. Signs, miracles, wonders follow the word of God. You are the word of God. You are born again based on the confession through the word of God, by the word of God. You are born of incorruptible seed as the word of God. We should be enjoying the love of God's, the power and authority that has been given unto you, that has been bestowed upon you to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to subdue, to dominate. And we're only going to subdue and dominate when we come in divine alignment with all that I am, in thought, in word, in being. And we should be enjoying the love of God, all things of God, character. For he created us in his image and likeness, has bestowed the same grace, the same love, same wisdom, same power, all. Why? Because in our maturity and spiritual growth and maturity, we begin to acknowledge and come to the realization and the revelation that all that he is, I am. In you. In you he lives. In you he has his being in this world, upon this earth. So as we have our being in Christ, the Father is able to have his being, oh, masata kero rabasha, hallelujah, in this world. upon this earth. Amen. So here are seven things that separate the blessing from the curse. One, the words you speak, the power of the tongue, right? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Truly. So if you're declaring that life is short, then you're declaring that your life is short. You should be speaking that life is long. You should be declaring long life. If you're attaching the power, the resurrection power of I am, to being sick, to being broke, to suffering, to lack, the power of the words that you speak. Oh, come on, you got to be knowledgeable. There are no idle words. Amen? There are no idle thoughts. We have to become master thinkers. We have to become master speakers. Hallelujah. Number two, being a believer versus a non-believer. Having unbelief. And this is not just through salvation, through your confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because now for every word of truth, you have to acknowledge, do you believe the word of truth? I'm not talking about facts. The word of truth, that there's only good. That there's only light, that there's only love, that there's only peace, that there's only perfect health, that there's only wholeness, that there's only perfection. Because we live unto the kingdom of God, the kingdom of all good. We may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom. And we should always have our thoughts and words in alignment with the kingdom of God in Christ, through Christ, as Christ. Number three, lack of faith. For there are degrees of faith in areas of life where your faith may be strong in healing, but may not be strong in abundance and prosperity or in wealth. Wealth in the form of money, right? Because wealth encompasses every area of life. So if you are having any lack of faith in any area of life, in love even, amen? Number four, ego and pride, which is attached to self-effort and self-works. This is the difference, right? Because we don't have to abide in ego and pride. We abide in the blessing. The power is in the blessing of the Lord, the blessing to be all that God is. Number five, your dormant thoughts, positive or negative, your dominant thoughts, should I say, are they positive or are they negative? Are you entertaining those negative thoughts? Are you casting down those negative thoughts? Are you rejecting those negative thoughts and declaring the truth? This is where you get into denials and affirmations and having an understanding and decreeing and declaring. Number six, feelings and emotions, standing on the word of God. Yes or no? Are you standing on the word of God? Are you standing unto righteousness? Are you standing in truth? Remember, facts change. Truth remains the same. It is the truth of all good, the truth of perfect health, the truth of wholeness, the truth of perfection that remains the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Number seven, spiritual versus physical, acknowledging that it's already done, beholding through the spiritual realm, because you must acknowledge and believe in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the supernatural, and behold by faith before you can ever see it in the physical. So everything that we see amongst us in the physical is where we have been appropriating our faith, our dominant faith in that in which we believe. We can only manifest that in which we believe. So if you are a born-again believer, You must acknowledge that you are worthy. Yes, you are worthy to receive all that thy Father has by faith in Christ Jesus. It is your inheritance. There is a difference and misconception between being worthy by the grace of God through faith in his unmerited favor. His unmerited favor is freely given because of his love and his promises. So when one asks, "What have you done to deserve?" you chose to have faith in the finished works of Christ Jesus. Therefore, you are worthy to receive by faith and not by self-works. Amen? Remember, it is vitally important to choose your words carefully and not to speak words of unworthiness over your life as an heir to the kingdom of God. The word unworthy brings about condemnation, shame, and removes you from right positioning to receive. The substance in which you speak does not decipher your intent. What I am saying is this. You say that I am the righteousness of God by faith, but I am unworthy. Well, which one are you? Are you the righteousness of God by faith in and through Christ Jesus to take hold of all that thy Father has, your divine inheritance? Or are you unworthy and therefore you do not receive anything? So if you wonder why there are any hindrance in your life, are you declaring that you are unworthy? So if your word says that you are unworthy, your heart saying that you are unworthy, how do you expect to receive anything that is of God, that is of good, that is of righteousness? A double-minded man, remember, is unstable. I prefer if you are either hot or cold, lukewarm, I'll spew you out. So if you're all over the place with your thoughts and all over the place with your words, So being the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus makes you worthy to receive God's unmerited favor by your inheritance, and again, not by what you do to deserve it. It is by grace through faith that you are worthy of his unmerited favor. So now expect it. You take hold of all good of your divine inheritance by faith, not what you did or did not do. It's all by faith. Faith is the currency that allows us to take hold of all that is of the kingdom of God. By faith, according to your faith, be it done unto you. What is it? Whatever it is that you appropriate your faith in or towards. By faith. Are you worthy? By grace through faith, are you worthy to receive? By faith, do you believe? By faith in Christ Jesus, in knowing, in trusting the promises of God, the word of God. But then you have to have the right dividing of the word. So let's go back into these 12 steps. These 12 positions of righteousness, right thinking, right believing, right dividing of the word. And this is where many are stuck, even according to your leadership. Is the blind leading the blind? Because if you don't have the right dividing of the word, you can never manifest the truth. You can never be in divine alignment with the truth. You can never express the truth. You can never bear witness to the truth if you don't know the truth. So we have right thinking, right believing, right dividing of the word, right speaking. The tense of which you speak your word must be right, must be already done, already finished. Right? We have to speak according to the finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right positioning, right declaring and decreeing, right to behold in mind and body. Right receiving, right understanding, right perceiving, right establishing, right judgment. There is righteous judgment and right standing. When we stand, we must be standing on the word of truth, not facts, The angels hearken to the word of God, the word of truth. The Holy Spirit moves according to the word of God, the word of truth. It is the truth that makes one free. It is the truth that keeps one free, that keeps one whole, that keeps one perfect, that keeps one complete and abundantly supplied. All in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.